Welcome to the James River Church Podcast. You're about to hear another inspirational message from Pastor John Lindell, lead pastor at James River Church. It's our prayer that this message is an encouragement and blessing to your life.
If you're new today and you're watching for the very first time, we're in a series on the book of James, and James is such a fantastic book. It's actually one of the easiest books in the New Testament to apply to our lives, and it really is kind of Christianity 101. So what you have in James is you have the basics, which is why we've called the series The Essentials. James' concern is for you and I to have a living, vibrant, active faith. When it comes to our Christianity, he wants us to be the kind of Christian that when people look at us, they say, he or she, they're the real deal. And so what James does is he presents for us a series of tests in his book by which you and I can evaluate our progress in the Christian journey, by which you and I can evaluate our maturity in the Christian life. And so we've looked at two tests. We looked at the test of trials. Last week, we looked at the test of temptation. And this morning, James gives us the test of how you and I respond to the Word of God. You know, I was thinking just about how valuable the Word of God is and what it does in our life. And it reminded me of a story I'd come across. It's about a guy named Rob Cutshaw, who was a rock collector and owned a little roadside shop outside of Andrews, North Carolina. And like many in the trade, he would go out and hunt for rocks and then would sell them to collectors or to jewelers. He didn't know a lot about rocks, just enough to find them and then to leave them with an appraiser or to offer them to other people. While on a dig in 1967, Rob found a rock that he described as pretty and big. He unsuccessfully tried to sell the rock for $500, but when that failed, he placed the rock in his closet and left it there. 20 years later, Rob found out that the rock he had tried to sell for a few hundred dollars was in fact the largest and most valuable sapphire ever found. Today, that rock weighs nearly 1 pound. It is known as the Star of David Sapphire and is valued at $3 million. For 20 years, Rob did not realize what he had. And I tell that story because I think it's very easy for Christians to forget the value of the Word of God, to forget how important the Word of God is, to forget what the Word of God can do in all of our lives. Listen, the Word of God is so powerful, it has the power to change a person's life at the most important point of their life. It can move a person from headed to hell to headed to heaven. It can take a person from darkness into light. The Word of God is so exceptionally powerful. It can grow us in our faith. It can make us mature. It can give us authority to do supernatural things in the name of Jesus. But if the Word of God is going to do that in our lives, then we must respond to it correctly. And that's exactly what James is talking about in James chapter 1. Now, as you come here, this is the third test in the book, as I said, and it's a test on how you and I respond to the Word of God. And James features or talks about two areas specifically. The first is how you and I receive the Word of God, and the second is how we react or how we respond to the Word of God. So let's look at what James says about how you and I are to receive the Word, because a true Christian receives the Word. James chapter 1, verse 19. Understand this, my dear brothers and sisters. You must all be quick to listen. What I think is notable in this is that it doesn't matter where you are in your journey with Christ. It doesn't matter if you've been doing this for 40 years. It doesn't matter if you just started last week. It doesn't matter if you're a child. It doesn't matter if you're a teenager. It doesn't matter if you're a college student. It doesn't matter if you're single, if you're married. It doesn't matter if you're a preacher. It doesn't, I mean, everybody is to be quick to listen. And remember, James is writing about the Word of God. He mentions in verse 18, we were changed eternally by the Word of God. We were given new birth. We were given birth through the Word of God. And the idea is, since we know the Word of God is powerful enough to turn us into a new creation, we should pay attention to it so it can continue to work in us. Let's not fall into the trap of thinking the only thing that matters is salvation. Does salvation matter? Yes. But there's a lot of Christians who are satisfied to stop at getting saved, forgetting all the while that we are saved on purpose, with a purpose, and that purpose starts now and continues through eternity. Praise God you're saved, but don't stay a baby Christian the rest of your life. So we need to be careful how we respond to the Word, that we pay attention to it, that we desire it. Peter will say in 1 Peter chapter 2, earnestly, as newborn babes, earnestly desire the pure milk of the Word. It's the same idea. In fact, there's a lot of similarities between what James writes and what Peter writes in his epistle, 1 Peter. So ask yourself, are you quick to hear the Word of God? Do you hunger for the Word in your life? Do you long to grow in your understanding of the Word, and not only your understanding of the Word, but your application of the Word? Are you eager to hear it preached, taught? Are you eager to read it, to pick up your Bible at home? James says, be quick to listen. And then he goes on and he says this, you must be quick to listen, slow to speak. Now, a lot of times we read that and on the surface we're like, well, wow, what great advice. We all talk, some of us talk too much. And the writer of Proverbs warns about that with verses like, he who guards his lips guards his life, and even a fool is thought wise if he keeps silent. I think another one is that in the abundance of words there's much folly. But James isn't talking about people who talk too much. He's talking about how you and I receive the Word. And we have to be careful that when we're hearing the Word, that we don't water down the Word, deny the Word, or misinterpret the Word because we want to give our two cents. It's a little bit like what James warns us in James chapter 3 and verse 1. Let not many of you become teachers, because teachers will be judged more harshly. So anytime we feel we're competent to comment on the Word, what we're saying is we can live the Word. But a greater concern to me in our society is simply this. A lot of people, rather than accepting the authority of the Word and rather than being quick to listen, slow to speak, they're like, well, you know, I don't see it that way. I believe this, or I feel this way. As if somehow their opinion is an authority greater than the authority of the Word of God. This is where you and I, in receiving the Word of God, have to have the humility to say, He's God, I'm not, and what He says is what I'm gonna listen to. So if He says something different than I like, if He says something different than I've always believed, if He says something that's gonna mean I'm gonna have to change my life, then He wins all ties because He's God and it's His Word and it's the rule for my life. I follow the Word. And then it says, and be slow to get angry. In other words, don't get upset at the Word of God. If it confronts something in your life, maybe if it confronts a tradition or a value that you've held, but now you're finding out, or it impinges on your own desire, if it confronts you at the point of giving your finances, I know some people get very upset when you talk about tithing and do all kinds of gymnastics theologically to try to get out of paying a tithe, and they want to shift it to, well, you know, it's the preacher who wants money and is talking about money all the time, when it doesn't have anything to do with that. It's clear in the Bible that you and I are to tithe, but people get angry about it. Or people are living together in a relationship outside of marriage, they're sexually active with one another, and then you say, listen, the Word of God says you can't do that. And they go home, and one or the other's upset about it. Like, where does he get off telling me I can't do this or I can't do that? What's happening in that moment is they're angry about the Word of God. The Greek word there is the word orge. We get our word ogre from it. And the idea is enraged, violent, passionate wrath. Some people get very hostile when they hear the Word of God. Sometimes people, because I have people tell me this, they say, you know, we brought somebody and they went home and said, that preacher was looking at me the whole time. And so in a congregation of this size, I'm not saying I don't see individuals, I'm just saying for a person to feel that, it's the Holy Spirit talking to them, but they can get angry. And James is saying, don't reject the Word of God, receive it. Why? Verse 20, for man's anger does not bring about the righteous life that God desires. Here's the thing, anytime you and I hold the Word of God at arm's length, if we get upset about what the Bible is saying, it circumvents the work of God in our life and keeps him from producing things in us that would ultimately not only bless us, but bless people around us. James goes on to say this in verse 21, therefore get rid of all the moral filth and the evil that is so prevalent. It's interesting that word for filth, the root word speaks of wax in the ear. And if you have a bunch of wax in your ear, besides being disgusting, what happens? You can't hear. Do you see the analogy? A dirty life, a filthy life, plugs up your hearing. A lot of people can't hear the Word of God, and they can hear it, but it's like it just falls off them. It's like they have this shell that the Word of God can't penetrate, and that shell is the unrighteousness of their life. It's their unwillingness to walk in a repentance that tenderizes their heart and opens them up not only to the Word of God, but the work of God through the Word in their life. Verse 21, James says, therefore get rid of all the moral filth and the evil that is so prevalent. And he's talking here about the evil in the world. You know, here's the danger, and we mention it, but this is a very significant thing for believers to consider. Our world is increasingly becoming more and more wicked, more and more sensual. There's more and more evil. The preoccupation that the entertainment industry has with the demonic. I mean, it's just unbelievable. And what happens is Christians can become numb to that evil and actually find themselves not only tolerating it, but embracing it. And what happens is, especially with things like social media and other things that I would suggest push groupthink and cause people to get caught up in the opinions of the world, the thinking of the world. So what happens is we become so much like the world that you can't tell the difference between the church and the world or Christians and the world. And James says we got to get rid of the evil that's so prevalent and humbly accept the word planted in you, which can save you. Do you realize that salvation, God, you are transformed by the living and enduring word of God at salvation. So it's the word that saved you. Then the word is planted in you. And I want to suggest that every time you hear a message, the Holy Spirit is planting the seed of God's word in your life that it might bring forth a harvest. Jesus mentions that in his parable of the sower and the soil. The seed that fell on good soil stands for a person with a good heart who embraces the word and brings forth a crop 30, 60, and 100 fold. That's the power of the word to produce in us and through us, because of the way we receive the word, a harvest of righteousness. So we should humbly accept it. How receptive are you to the word of God? Do you listen to it anytime you can? Do you desire it? If you do, your life will be changed. So how we receive the word of God is half the battle. The other half is, what do we do with the word of God? And that's how you and I respond to it. Look at it in verse 22. Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. It's interesting, but the word listen there is a word that was used in the ancient world for auditors. When someone audits a class, what do? They sit and listen because they're only auditing the class. They don't have to do the assignments. They don't have to write any papers. They don't have to take any tests. They're not responsible for the content that comes their way. As I read that and think about that, there are a lot of spiritual auditors in the church. They listen to the word of God. In fact, they've listened to it so much, they can tell you when it's good preaching and when it's not. But they do nothing with what they hear. All of us need to be reminded, listening to the word is not an end in itself. If you come to church simply to hear the word taught, but don't position yourself so the word can change your life, if you don't put it into practice, then you are deceived. Some say, well, you know, I like to listen because I like to learn. And I think that's a dangerous thing. Should we learn? Yes. But if our reception of the word and our response to the word stops at listening and learning, then we are in danger of becoming puffed up with pride and becoming a Pharisee. Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 8, knowledge puffs up, love builds up. And when you have knowledge without application, that is a definition. Spiritual knowledge without application, practical application, makes you a Pharisee. There's a lot of people who can look at truth, know truth, but when you watch their life, they're not applying truth. They're not in a life group. They're not on a dream team. They don't want to serve. And James is going to go on in verse 25, 26, 27, and he's going to simply say, if you're applying the word of God, it will affect the way you talk. So if you're a gossip and you know the word of God, there's a major disconnect there. If you know the word of God, but you're not serving the poor and you're not reaching out to help people and you're not active in ministering to people who are hurting, something's wrong there. The fact is, just because you know the word doesn't mean that you're where you need to be spiritually. In fact, you're resting in the fact you know the word, but James says you are deceived. It's in the Greek a word that has the idea of a miscalculation. If you think listening to the word of God is enough, then you've made a major miscalculation. If you're only a listener and it never impacts your life, you're deceived. You've left something out. So watch this. Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourself. Do what it says. And then to help us understand that, James gives us an illustration. Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like a man who looks at his face in a mirror. And after looking at himself, he goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. The other day, I was, taking care of some last minute things. I needed, the nice thing about scruff is you don't have to be too particular about your shave, but I knew I needed to shave. And the phone rang and I needed to go. And I realized as I was driving to the place where I was going that I hadn't shaved. I looked in the mirror, but I didn't do anything about what I saw. And the point is, when you hear the word of God and don't do something on the spot, that needs to be done, that God is calling you to do through His Word. You get busy in life, you forget about it, you never get it taken care of. It's like you looked in the mirror, didn't do anything about what you saw. When you hear the Word of God preached, it always shows you who you are, and it shows us the things in our life that need work. But the problem for a lot of people, and I just want to say this, a lot of people don't take notes. You're not thinking about what God is saying to you. This is the value of notes. Not only is it helping you to remember what is said, because the shortest pencil is better than the longest memory, but what happens is, as you're taking the note, you can underline things, you can put an asterisk by it, you can look at it, and you can say, I need to work on this. You can just write that down. So the next day, on Monday, in your devotional time, you look at it and you say, you know, Lord, you spoke to me yesterday in my heart about this as something that you want me to pay attention to, and you can spend time with the Lord asking Him to help you to do that in your life. Lord, what do you want me to do? How do you want me to do it? What ministry are you speaking? How am I going to do this in my life? What ministry should I be a part of? And there's things like that that don't happen if you and I just hear the Word, walk out of the auditorium, and don't have any kind of internal sense of responsibility to do what God is calling us to do. You've turned away from the mirror. And there's no benefit in hearing the Word and then not doing anything about what you've heard. So in verse 25, James says, but the man who looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom. So this idea is there's an intentionality. Not only that, but it's interesting because when you consider what a mirror was like back in that day, glass mirrors weren't invented until the 14th century. So a mirror in the ancient world was highly polished, usually bronze, and they would make a mirror out of the bronze. But you would have to turn it so the light would hit, and you couldn't see your whole face necessarily clearly, so you would have to angle the metal so you could see different parts of your face to get a clear image, and they had to look intently at the mirror, whereas today you can just glance at the mirror. This is part of what James, he's saying, listen, just like people have to intently look at the mirror to examine themselves, when you and I are looking into the Word of God is like a mirror, and it shows us who we are. It shows us what we look like spiritually. It shows us where we're at spiritually. And the blessing doesn't come in hearing, it comes in doing. Some of you are missing some of the biggest blessings in your life because what happens is you're content to hear, and God is saying, if you only hear and you don't do, you've missed out on the whole thing. We have to position ourselves when we read the Word, when we hear the Word, to make the changes God is convicting us about. Otherwise, we'll miss out on what God wants to do. God wants to bless you. He wants to do amazing things in your life. And when we come together as a church, whether it's gathering in person or today online, God is speaking to you right now. I believe He's speaking to you about how you handle the Word, how you listen to the Word. Whether you really give your all to looking intently at the Word and examining your life in that moment. And He's calling all of us to a deeper walk with Him that looks at the Word and then applies the Word. My prayer is that all of us will grow in 2026 in our ability to do that. Heavenly Father, I thank You because Your Word is true. And I thank You that as we've heard Your Word today, that Lord, You're speaking to every single one of us. May we not just be auditors of the Word, but may we actually be intentional in applying the Word. Lord, I pray for those who have been hit and miss in their devotional reading or even reading the Bible at all, that they would recognize the importance of reading your word, of hearing your voice speak to them through the word of God, and that all of us would not fall prey to the trap of thinking that somehow because we heard the message, we've done our duty. Or because we've learned something new in the message, we got all we needed. But may we consider every time we hear the word of God, what is it, God, that you are calling us to do? Lord, help us to that end, I pray. And Father, I thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen.